ringers.
I wanted to be the first to congratulate you, Mr. President. It's a great leap forward in technology.
It's not so big. Sesame Street was bound to come out on DVD sooner or later.
No, sir. I'm talking about the billion-pound manned mission to Mars you've just approved.
I am determinatorized. That human eyes shall gaze upon the Martian landscape. I am greatly inspirographed by the most important space mission from the 1960s.
John F. Kennedy's Apollo program?
No, Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek program.
This is Trevor McDonald with the News at 10. If no news is good news, then the News at 10 is good news all the way. Coming out are trying to relaunch themselves yet again, since their campaign with Billy Connolly was voted the most irritating advert of 2002. They have therefore chosen a new face with more of a feeling for the lottery.
Hi, I'm Michael Owen, and if, like me, you have a disposable income of £40,000 a week, why not buy 40,000 scratch cards? Come on, don't gamble a little, gamble a lotto. How much do I get for this? All right, double or nothing, heads or tails.
Hey, Scoob, it looks dangerous out there. Do you think we've come the right way? Boo-ee.
Don't worry, Shaggy. We're safe inside the mystery machine. Nothing can happen to us.
Oh, what was that? Something zapped the mystery machine.
Now, don't worry, it's quite safe. We're just charging you £5 to enter Central London.
Zoinks! It's the eerie man from the fun fair!
Now, I told you before, I'm the mayor, and it's not a fun fair, it's the London Eye.
I've had enough of this, Mr. Livingston. Let's find out who you really are under that mask.
People of the mystery machine. This is your Prime Minister.
Tony Blair? So you posed as Mr. Livingston to introduce the congestion charge to London?
Anything to make him more unpopular. And I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you pesky young voters. Evil raise of eyebrow, swish of cape, it was the janitor all along Y fronts.
Let us commence. I wish first to thank you, footballers, for gathering at this emergency meeting to discuss the sordid and pathetic subject of gambling. Yes, David.
Mr. Erickson, boss, it's true a few of us like cards and stuff, but it's like no big deal. You probably think that, like, gambling is but the ragged sombrero on the head of the blind donkey of life. Or Samink. But I don't think you should ban card games.
Nor shall I, David. You are footballers, and therefore, in the intellectual sphere, you are dribbling half-wits. You need these pastimes, but I desire that they should have some edifying moral content, and that is why I have devised Sven's Existential Casino of Spiritual Improvement. All your favourite card games are here, but with my own modifications. David, why not have a go at Sven's Poker?
Yeah, all right.
It's almost identical to the version of poker you enjoy.
Ah!
Except that from time to time, a metal poker jabs the players in the leg to remind them that life is pain. Shall I show you what happens at the craps table?
No, thanks. Can I have a go at Chase the Lady?
No, that game is just for me.
Hello and welcome to Newsnight with me, Kirsty Wark. You get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. Opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo. More on that story later. Following the England Cricket Board decision to play in Zimbabwe, they've confirmed another diplomatic blunder by touring another regime known for its human rights abuses.
Of course they were right to go ahead with this tour of my evil empire. Just as France were right to invite me to their Franco-Evil Empire summit in February. You enslave a few galaxies and suddenly everyone makes you out to be the bad guy.
I'm joined now by the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, you've made your opposition to this tour plain, and yet British companies and arms firms are still allowed to trade with Darth's evil empire.
Well, you know, that's very unfair, Kirsty. Angry Pads, disappointed whites, furious sweat-stained box. Darth has assured me that all the British-made Death Stars and TIE Fighters will be used only for agricultural work.
Many former cricketing greats have weighed in with their thoughts on the upcoming tour, including Fred Truman.
I mean, I support the tour. I mean, I was a young cricketer in Yorkshire. I lost count of the times I was slashed in two by a lightsaber wielded by the Dark Lord of the Sith, and it's never done me any harm. The one thing I don't like about Darth is that he's a bit of a wimp. You'd never see me wearing a helmet when I went out to bat.
And I believe we can now cross live for commentary of the first test, England versus the Evil Empire.
Hello and welcome to Tatooine, which, as you know, is an arid desert planet, so the hard, flat pitch should favour the batsman. Now, can I just begin by thanking a Mrs. Jabba the Hutt of Tatooine, who sent us a lovely Roly Poly Jam sponge, and Mrs. Boba Fett, who sent us Han Solo encased in carbonite. Looks very tasty. Might tuck into that later. What have you made of England's changes, Yoda?
No play at the moment there is. Bird window fly past. Interesting it is. Cake talk about nothing else all day you do. Speak backwards and in riddles I do. Still more sense I make than Richie Benno.
Coming up later tonight on Channel 4, we have a hard-hitting new series, Buried, that looks at the careers of the people who dreamt up Rise. But first, we have another episode of our smash-hit documentary series, Wife Swap.
Just like every previous episode of Wife Swap, tonight we bring together two families that would otherwise never have anything to do with one another. The Grundys of Ambridge and the Blairs of London. But just how will the mother of one of Britain's most respected families cope, spending 2 weeks with a bunch of losers always up to their necks in trouble?
Oh, Weddy, I can't say I'm not apprehensive. I'll just have to do my best, won't I?
Day one at Keeper's Cottage, and Eddie is pleasantly surprised by his first impressions of Cherry.
Too right. Me and Joe never realised how many dodgy scams we were missing out until we spoke to Cherry.
Meanwhile, down in London, Clary and Tony are comparing notes on their lives.
Well, what's a typical day? Much the same as Ambridge, I suppose, getting up at 4 a.m. to muck out John Prescott's sty. Then spending the day spreading ill-informed gossip as fact with my new friend Alistair Campbell.
Oh, but surely with us being from such different worlds, Blair family life must be different to the Grundys. My children are nothing but trouble because they're always falling in with the wrong crowd. We worry constantly about being evicted from our home, and my father-in-law is a drunken reprobate who's always embarrassing me.
Exactly. Nothing like us whatsoever.
Wise wizard Gandalf, once you were Gandalf the Grey, but then after you defeated the Balrog in epic battle, you were resurrected as Gandalf the White. And now you tell me you've been resurrected as Gandalf the Orange.
Yes, that's right, Frodo. After my epic battle with the sunbed set to stun. But don't worry, viewers, I'll be fine. When you've attended as many car boot sales as I have, the creatures inhabiting Middle-earth don't seem nearly so weird. Right, young hobbit, have I got a bobby dazzler of a task for you today?
Let me guess. You want me to transport the one true ring across Middle-earth to Mordor, where you expect me to defeat Saruman's orc army before hurling the ring into the fiery depths of Mount Doom.
Now, nothing as easy as that. I want you to make a profit and auction from this slightly chipped 1930s elfin serving dish, this 1950s novelty hobbit cruet set, and this porcelain figure of the dwarf king with a tear in his eye.
Boy, and I thought Gollum had it in for me.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Kat Slater.
And the headlines again. Having given the Slaters all the stories on all BBC soaps, the BBC has now decided to do the same with all news stories as well.
Yeah, that's right. For anything to be news now, it has to involve us Slaters.
Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we'll be speaking to John Prescott as he joyrides in the radio car through Walford before running down Jamie Mitchell.
So, coming up in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to be having an affair with Robert Mugabe, who, unbeknownst to me, is cheating on me with the long-lost nephew of Ian Duncan Smith, who's plotting with my second cousin, who's really my daughter, who's pregnant with Alan Milburn's love child, and who's run away to London to live in a crack house run by Doc.
What a load of sensationalist rubbish. Let's have a proper, sensible report about the situation in Iraq. So, Tony is madly in love with George, but George is also in love with Donald, and they all want to bomb Saddam together because Saddam once made George's dad look stupid using weapons that Donald sold him. Actually, yeah, maybe we better go with your news story instead.
Right. So, at 8:10, I'll be joined in the studio by the Prime Minister, and I'll be stunning him and the nation by revealing that the identity of his real father is...
Hello, Big Fun Company.
Hello, is that the centre for the hire of bouncy castles?
Yes, it is.
Hello, my name is Dr. Simon Sharma, the cleverest man in the world. And I'd like to hire a bouncy castle, if that would be all right.
When are you thinking of wanting it?
This weekend.
Oh. What sort of size do you want?
I need one which would reflect the true greatness of the English Empire at its most powerful.
I've got a 12x12 dinosaur one.
What is the oldest bouncy castle that you have?
I've only got one and it's only a year old. Yeah.
Have you got any castles about 400 years old?
No.
Any haunted ones?
No.
Do you have one with authentic ramparts, battlements, turrets and a half-moon battery?
No.
But I need something to walk around and look clever. To celebrate my new pair of spectacles. Have you seen me wearing them on the telly? And do you think I look nice in them?
I'm afraid I haven't. I haven't heard of you.
I'm on BBC Two. You haven't seen me?
No, haven't.
Obviously, you're not in my target audience, then.
No, I'm afraid I'm not.
Are you a bit thick and only watch things like Blind Date, not clever history programmes like mine?
That's right.
So what do you like?
I like Footballers' Wives.
Footballers' Wives. Well, as you've said earlier, I don't think that you have any kind of 400-year-old haunted castles of historical significance that I may be interested in.
I'm afraid I haven't.
And I hope you watch my programme. I think you might learn summit.
I doubt it.
Clary Grundy and Sherry Blair are now a week into their wife swap, and the Grundys are finding some of Sherry's ways a little strange.
Aye, too right. She had my pigs about 5 a.m. this morning, doing yoga and Tai Chi chanting.
There's also some concern that Cherie has come under the spell of a local New Age guru.
Linda Snell coming into my life is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
You can't deny she's got you involved in some pretty weird things.
Eddie Grundy, how dare you talk about my upcoming amateur production of The Mikado with the voices of players like that. Cherie is a natural-born actress. Just look at that speech she made about being a superwoman juggling balls, if you don't believe me.
Meanwhile, Tony thinks that some parts of Cherie's duties have proved more difficult for Clary than others.
You know, Clary has enjoyed the fact she's been expected to do far less cooking and ironing than back in Ambridge, but she's found working as one of London's top QCs quite challenging.
And you only have to take one look at him, Your Honour, to know he's guilty as sin.
Clary, you do realise you're the defence attorney?
Well, yes, but I've got to go on with Tony's tea on the table by 5. I can't hang around here all day.
My name... it's Greg Dyke. Yeah, I'd bring back Sapphire and Steel. Only this time, they'd be called Cheese and Onion. Now, Tessa Jowell has announced an inquiry to find out whether the licence fee is good value for money. Well, I'd like to tell you that the £108 is good value. But I can't. No, I can't, because it's an inexact science. You see, I can't tell you if you get a good return on the licence fee, not... at least until the horse I put the money on runs tomorrow. Well, I got a tip from Michael Owen, didn't I? So, for all you Ponzi types out there who want to see lavish drama like The Lost Prince, then you'd better be cheering home Mother's Boy in the 3:45 from Wincanton. Oi, Yentob, isn't the other end of this bungee jump rope supposed to be attached to something or what?
Hello and welcome to the 10 o'clock news with me, Hugh Edwards. If I'm the Welsh George Clooney, then John Humphreys is the Welsh Rosemary Clooney. We cross live to Westminster and the BBC's chief political correspondent, Andrew Marr. Andrew, has there been any answer yet to the question, why do you twitch about like a hamster in a spin dryer?
It's too early to say, John, but sources close to me say that just as John Sargent had his big leathery face and Cole had his oversized coat, me jerking about like Ozzy Osbourne driving a clown car over a cattle grid will almost certainly turn out to be another silly trademark.
And are you thinking of building on this trademark?
Oh, yes. I've been considering 8-inch platform shoes, an afro wig, a satin shirt open to the waist, and even some funky disco background music to accentuate my crazy gyrations.
And just one final question, Andrew. Are you available for children's parties?
I'm fully booked up to the 17th, but any time after that, yes.
Andrew Marr, if I get my hands on you, Burke.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green, the newsreader that melts in your mouth, not in your hand. And now the afternoon play. And it's another in our Beyond the Canvas season. This week you've heard plays inspired by the paintings The Death of Chatterton and The Last of England. Today, Martin Jarvis and Dame Judi Dench star in Where's Wally?
Oh, goodness. I wonder where Wally can possibly be. It's so difficult to spot him in this busy and very detailed fairground. I've been looking for him for hours. Admittedly, I did spend the first 40 minutes just squinting because I thought it was a magic eye picture, but nonetheless, it's dashed hard. Oh, I give up.
For goodness sakes, woman, I'm here. It's me, Martin Wally Jarvis, peering round the corner of the coconut shy. I'm hardly inconspicuous. I'm wearing a red and white striped jumper, a bubble hat, and I'm carrying a walking stick.
Oh, sod it. I'm going to do a word search.
You're back with Newsnight Review. I'm Mark Lawson, slightly more bald than every other bald man in Britain. It's been announced this week that after the success of The Weakest Link, there's to be another American version of British TV's meanest shows. Nicholson and De Niro replace Susanna and Trini in What Not to Wear.
Hey, Jack, what are you doing? What are you doing, huh? Shoving me into this freaking walking cupboard. I'll tell you what I'm doing, boy. I'll tell you what I'm goddamn doing. I'm forcing you to stand in front of a goddamn 360-degree mirror so the whole nation can laugh at your wobbly thighs. And unfashionable 70s pastel hippie dresses worn over three-quarter length flared trousers. You saying that my mother-freaking clothes don't mother-freaking suit me? Is that what you're saying? So what are yous gonna do about it, huh? What are yous gonna do? What am I gonna do about it? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do about it. I'm gonna stand here looking smug and criticize you for wearing the wrong brassiere cup size while telling you you've got great tits, huh? And here's what you're gonna do, boy. You're gonna traipse around a lot of fancy designer clothes shops. And you're gonna buy magenta chiffon blouses and ruffle skirts. And you're gonna end up looking worse than you did at the start of the goddamn show. Okay. Is that so? Well, say your prayers, you mother freaking label junkie judgmental fashionista.
So now it's a week after our wife swap ended, and we've brought the two families together to see what they've learnt. First, the Grundys.
Well, I've learned that the way our
Joe speaks don't seem nearly so peculiar after a couple of nights in John Prescott and Robin Cook's presence.
And I've learnt that letting Cherie convince me to wear my new purple suit down the bull was a big mistake.
And the Blairs?
Well, from Clary I've learnt the true value of hard work, humility and respect for my fellow man.
And I've learnt there are a number of cheap, affordable rental properties in Ambridge just waiting for the right buyer.
And now we return to our Beyond the Canvas season. Martin Jarvis and Dame Judi Dench bring another iconic image to the radio.
Yes, yes, that's game to me. Now, I lead 4-2 and two sets to love. Come on, it's you to serve.
I will, but can you wait a moment? My bum is awfully itchy. Luckily, I'm not wearing knickers, so I'll just lift up my frightfully short skirt, give my bum a scratch. Ooh, that's better.
Lord Mayor's office, can I help you?
Is that Birmingham City Council?
Yes.
The Lord Mayor's office?
It is.
Bloody hell. You don't mind me phoning up, do you? It's Mr. John Osborne.
Sorry?
Can you hear all right, Della? Can you hear me a bit, Della?
Yeah, sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah, fine.
I was just sure you can make it out.
I can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Listen, sweetheart, I wondered, because things were kind of going all right, I wondered, you know, if you had any plans to, you know, give us the freedom of the city yet. How's it work?
Generally, somebody has to nominate you, to be perfectly honest.
So, you know, could our Sharon do that, or does it have to be somebody like, you know, a milkman who knows you, or, I don't know, who would nominate you?
Individuals, it tends to be, if they've obviously done something sort of outstanding recognition.
Oh, well, I'll send you some of the Sabbath albums, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
Yeah, go on, sorry. No.
Yeah, sort of organisations can, sort of, normally, they do write in and say, is it possible we could be given the freedom of the city?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's like, you know, some fan club, I think they're called the Aussie Club or something club or whatever. They could write in, couldn't they?
Sorry, are you Ozzy Osbourne?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, yes, I am, yeah. So I just thought, you know, international, you know, metal, you know, legend and all that. And, you know,
yeah.
I should have the freedom of the city. It'd be great to boast about here in bloody Beverly Hills, you know what I mean?
I mean, some individuals have got it.
What am I going to get? What you get out of it?
What you get out of it? You are allowed to, I think, go through the city waving your flag and rearing, taking your sheep with you, actually.
Don't get offensive. I know we're weird on that, but, you know...
That is the position from years ago. That's basically what you're allowed to do.
Oh, God, it sounds like lyrics from a Lindisfarne album.
Apart from that, the only thing is that will have your name inscribed on a stone tablet in the council house. You get a silver casket and there's a big ceremony.
What, do you get buried in that?
It's not quite that big. The silver caskets, they are very nice, actually. They're normally about 10 inches long by about 4 inches wide.
I know something I could put in that. You've been brilliant. You've got to come to the do, all right?
I'll certainly come to the do.
You're invited.
Thank you very much.
Was that the right number?
Hello there and welcome to Film 2003 with me, Jonathan Watts. Warning, do not try these clothes on at home. Terminator 3 is soon to hit our screens with a female Terminator machine. But is it a sequel too far?
I thought I had seen every unstoppable cyborg killing machine. But you're far more ruthless and brutal than them. What is your mission?
Wow, Arnie! My mission is to discover
discover why this lousy film ever went into production in the first place. Which star's thudding flops like The Sixth Day has forced him into trying to squeeze one last hit from this moribund franchise? Who at 55 should stop saying, I'll be back, and start saying, no, I won't, instead? Who won't be wanting people's clothes, boots and motorcycles, but instead will want their woolly bed socks, dentures and stair lifts? Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's time to play the weakest sequel. Anthony Hopkins, you voted for Terminator 3. Why?
Well, because Arnie's too old for the role now.
Yes. People looking too old for a part can be embarrassing, can't it? Like you in that prequel Red Dragon, wearing that tight T-shirt didn't really make you look 15 years younger, did it? It looked like you've enjoyed some fava beans, a nice Chianti and about 500 pork pies. And talking of porkies, William Shatner, why did you vote for Police Academy 5?
Because after 5 films, they had totally run out of ideas.
Yes, rather like Star Trek 5, the search for an old people's home, then. The only 5-year mission you were on was to explore strange new corsets and strap them round your fat belly. Marlon Brando, you voted for Superman 4. Why? Which, if nothing else, at least solves the mystery of who wrote its script. So, the person most guilty of dragging something well past its sell-by date, introducing ever more lame and tiresome gimmicks, is me, apparently. The weakest link theme specials, you are the weakest sequel. Goodbye.
More from our Beyond the Canvas season now, and Jackson Pollock's number one, 1948, is brought to the radio by perhaps the only performer capable of representing Pollock's work in sound.
Doesn't really look like anything.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw, Roderick Crooks, Paul Carenza. The producer was Katie Tyrrell. It was devised by Bill Dare.